Today's daf is Sota Daf Yud Gimel. We are holding toward the end of the first parak of Masecha Sota, and we're going to continue in Agadata about very important Torah personalities from the beginning of Sefer Shemos. But today we go back to Sefer Bereishis as well, and we're going to talk about Yaakov Avinu. We're going to talk about the funeral of Yaakov Avinu. We're going to talk about the confrontation that occurred between Yaakov Avinu and Esav, or the funeral procession of Yaakov Avinu and Esav, as well as how Yosef's remains were secured when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. We're going to give different interpretations of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant when he tells Moshe Rabbeinu Ravlach, what that expression implies, and we'll talk a lot about the death and burial of Moshe Rabbeinu as well. So we have Yaakov, we have Yosef, and we have Moshe Rabbeinu in today's daf. We left off in the at the end of Yud Beis Amid Beis yesterday, and we are at the very end of the page, so I think. Vatikach Miriam Hanavia Achos Aaron, I believe. Yeah, Vatikach Miriam Hanavia Achos Aaron, three lines from the end of the page. Achos Aaron Vlo Achos Moshe was Miriam Hanavia, only Achos Aaron, not Achos Moshe. Amrav Amrav Armila Amrav Nachman Amrav Mlami Shaisa Misnavik Shi Achos Aaron Va Omeris Hasidi Mishetel Bench Mashiach Yisrael. She's called Achos Aaron because the Nevuah that she said occurred when she was still Achos Aaron, and she said that she had a Nevuah that her mother is going to have a child that's going to save Klal Yisrael. V'kivin Shnol and Moshe Nismali Kol Abayis Kula Or Moshe Rabbein was born, the whole house is filled with light. Amrav Yev Noshkal Rosha, her father comes and kisses her on her head. Amrav Biti Niskaim Nevuah Seich, your nevuah has been fulfilled. And once the baby was thrown into the river, so she, her father got upset, and he said, "What happened to your nevuah now?" She was really going to see what was going to be with her nevuah because she was still confident that the nevuah was still going to survive. Rashi al Torah quotes the drasha, another drasha, to explain why it is that she's called achos Aaron, not just because that's what her nevuah was when Moshe Rabbein was still not born, but because Aaron was Moser Nefesh for Miriam when she had Saras, so that's why she's called Al Shemo. She's called Achos Aaron. That's how Rashi El Torah says in Shemos Perek Tezvav Pasuk Chav. The Achronim point out that the two drashos aren't cholik on each other; they're mashlimo zuazu. They work together. That according to the Gemara over here, it would still be difficult why it says Hanaviyah in Lashon Hove. It should have said Sheniva Achos Aaron, that she was Misnave in the past. And according to the second interpretation, the one that Rashi quotes, it should have said Miriam right next to Achos Aaron without the word Hanaviyah interposing between those two words. Says Maravite, Yosef Zacha. We said that Yosef was Zocha because he took care of the kvura of his father, so he was zocha that Moshe Rabbeinu took care of his kvura. Why initially does it say that Yosef went to be covered his father and the Avdei Paro went with him? And then it talks about all of Yosef's family. So it talks about all the Avdei Paro followed by Yosef's family. But then it says, it's Yosef and his family first. And then it's everyone else. Before anyone saw the great kavod before the Mitzrim saw the great kavod that other nations had for the Bnei Yaakov, they weren't Noi kavod, so they went ahead of the Bnei Yaakov. But then they saw the great kavod that others were expressing for the Bnei Yaakov, so they were Noi kavod and allowed them to go first. That they went they came until Gorin Ha'atad. So Gorin Yeshlo La'atad. Atad is a thorn bush, it's thorns. Would there be a garin, a threshing floor? You don't thresh, there's nothing to produce when you're dealing with thorns. What it's referring to is that they took crowns, and there were crowns of foreign kings all around the Aron of Yaakov in a semicircle, like a garin, that they would be makif and atod with. Shabo sham b'nei Esav, b'nei Shmuel, b'nei Keturah, that all these different nations came and they all put their crowns. Tanu kulam l'milchama bo. They didn't come initially to give kavod. They came l'milchama. Kivin shoro kisro shal Yosef talim ba'aron shal Yaakov, natu kulam kisrayim v'talim ba'aron shal Yaakov. Once they saw Yosef's crown by by Yaakov's Aron, they all took their crowns as well and put it by Yaakov's Aron. Tanah Shlosh Vishisha Ksarim Nitlu Baron Shal Yaakov, and in fact there were 36 crowns in the end of the day by Yaakov's Aron. The Karanora explains that 36 is Mechuvan to the 36 Krisos that it says in the Torah, 36 Chayavei Krisos that caused the Nefesh to be divorced from its source, and those who are Mekayim, being Medabik the Nefesh to its Makar, are far away from the 36 Krisos. So Keser is the opposite of Kares, same words, but Keser is supposed to represent the opposite of Kares, that the he who fully connects as opposed to becoming fully cut off. So says Gemara, Ve'yispedu Sham Mispid Gadol V'Kaved Ma'od, they had a very great hesped, Tana Afilu Susim Afilu Chamorim, who was involved in the hesped? Even the horses and the donkeys were involved in the hesped. What does that mean? Horses and donkeys were involved in the hesped? So the Marsha says that the Susim Chamorim were dressed up. They would dress them up in black and in a proper attire for a hesped. But obviously the horses and donkeys didn't feel anything because of the hesped. That's all it means. Mesh Chachma though says that no. Why? How does a horse and a donkey feel mourning if they don't get any food? So he says, based on the pasuk Yada Shar Koneo V'Chamar Evos Baalav, that the animal knows where its food comes from. So they realized, they knew that the food came back when Yaakov Vinu came down to Mitzrayim. So they recognized the loss of the supplier of their food when they came back. The Re'af suggests that that because of the hesped, they neglected to feed the animals. So the animals were neighing and braying and whining, and so it was as if the animals were involved in the hesped of Yaakov Avinu. Then they finally get the procession to Marsa Machpelah. Asa Esav Kama Akiv, and Esav puts up a fight. Amr Lahen, Mamri Kiryas Arba Hi Chavron, Vamr Rabbi Yitzchak Kiryas Arba. Arba Zugos Hayu. That Kiryas Arba, this is Daf Yomi Krinson, just read about Chevron yesterday, about Marasa Machpelah. Kiryas Arba, it's called Kiryas Arba because there are four Zugos that were there. Adam, four couples that were buried there. Adam Achava, Avram Asara, Yitzchak Verivka, Yaakov Aleya. That's why it's called Kiryas Arba. And unfortunately, nothing has changed, and our enemies still attack us at Kiryas Arba, at Chevron. Iu Kavr Aleya Bididei, Vahai Depayish Didihu. So Esav's argument was that Leah was buried in Yaakov's half of our generation's rights to Marasa Machpelah. So I get the other half of our generation's rights to Marasa Machpelah, meaning our parents are both buried there because that's it. They're the only ones. But we're supposed to split it. Me and Yaakov are supposed to split it. So Amr Leah is vinted. They said, what are you talking about? You sold all your rights to it. Amr Leah, nidis vini b'chirusa p'shitusa mizvini. He said, wait a second, maybe you didn't understand the sale. I sold my rights to Bechar, which means I forgave my rights to be treated better than Yaakov, to get a Pishnayim, but that we should still both be sons, that we should split it evenly. I never sold that. So Yaakov got one half, and he decided to bury Leah in that half. That's very nice and fine, but I get the other half. I get the other slot. So Amr Leah, in Dichsiv, Bekivri Asher Karisili, V'am Rabbi Yochum, Mishum Rav Shem Ben Yotzadik, Ein Kira El Loshon Mechira. Karisili refers to Mechira, that you sold it. Shekein B'kar Chayam Karel Mechira Kira. Amr Leah, Havali Yigarta. So they said to him, you did sell it. So he said, oh yeah, if I sold it, let me see the Shtar Mechira. Amr Leah, he said, Igarta Bar, so they said back to him, Igarta Bar de Mitzrayim. Well, the Shtar Mechira is all the way back in Mitzrayim. Uman Nezel, who's going to go get it all the way back from Mitzrayim? Nezel Naftali de Kalul Ki Ayalta. So we'll send Naftali because he knows how to run really fast. Dechsim Naftali Ayala Shlucha Hanos Inimre Shefer. So they decided Naftali was going to be the one to run back to Mitzrayim to go get it. Amr Rabbi Val Altikri Imre Shefer Eli Imre Sefer. It's not Shefer, but Sefer. That he went to get the Sefer, the Shtar, that indicated that Esav had given up all of his rights. Chushim Bered Didan Tamin Hava. Chushim, Dan's son, was there. V'yikirin Le'udnein, he was hard of hearing. Amr Lehu Mayhai. He said, what's going on over here? Why aren't we burying my grandfather? V'amr Leh, Kama Akev Hai Adasi Naftali Mi'arad Mitzrayim. Well, this guy, you know, our uncle, is stopping us until Naftali comes back from Mitzrayim. Amr Lehu Adasi Naftali Mi'arad Mitzrayim Yavi Abba Mutub B'Zayin. Yavi Abba Mutub B'Zayin. Till Naftali comes back from Mitzrayim. My grandfather's going to be sitting here, lying here, Mutub B'Zayin, unburied. It's a B'Zayin mace, not to bury the mace right away. So how could that be? Shakul Kulpa Machia Reshi went and he clapped popped him on the head. Natranene and Esav's eyes popped out for Nafla Karad Yaakov, and they fell on Yaakov's feet. Paschinu Yaakov le'enei va'achich. And then remarkably, Yaakov, who was already deceased, his eyes opened up and he smiled. Vahenu d'chsiv yismach tzadik yichazin akom pa'amav yirchatz b'dam ha'rasha. That he gets to see the revenge taken against the Rasha. Ba'os ha'shan niskaim nevuasa shal Rivka. And at that moment, Rivka's nevuah was fulfilled. D'chsiv, because the pasuk says that when Rivka says to Yaakov that he should run away, lama eshkal gam shnechem yom echad. Why should I lose both of you on one day? And it turns out that they both died on the same day. Well, not exactly died. The Gemara says, v'afkav demisasin lo b'yom echad avai, kvurasin miyav b'yom echad avai. Even though they didn't both die on the same day, but they were both buried on the same day. V'yilosik bei Yosef, achiv lov ma'aski bei. Why is Yosef given the credit for burying Yaakov? It's not as if the brothers wouldn't have done it. Anyone would have done it. They thought the greatest kavod would be to give it to Yosef. So why is Yosef the one that gets credit? Yosef is the one that got the credit, even though the brothers also participated, because they decided to allow Yosef to take the lead, since it's more kavodik to let a melech take care of the kavura of Yaakov than to have Hedyotos take care of the kavura of Yaakov. A number of issues that come up over here. First of all, the major discussion in Rishonim is how Yaakov was able to be kona the bechora from Esav. It's a davar shelo b'liolim. Halacha is you can't be kona a davar shelo b'liolim. The parish of the tour on the Torah in Parshas Toldos writes that Meikra Din Yaakov should have been the bechor, and that's why he didn't really need a full kinyan, because he was the tipa rishona, and it's just that Esav came out first, but Yaakov really Meikra Din should have been the bechor. But then he rejects that. He says because that's always the way it works. The tipa rishona always comes out last. That's what Chazal tell us, that it's like shofar sanod. You put something in a narrow tube, so the whatever went in last is going to come out first of the narrow tube. So he says, no, maybe it's that Yaakov thought that Yitzchak was going to give him everything while he was still alive. He just wanted to quiet Esav's tainas down by having Esav be maskim. But it wasn't a real mechira that was a binding kinyan. The binding kinyan would be Yitzchak giving everything before he actually dies. Other suggestions, I mean, a number of other suggestions. There are like 10 different shittos in Rishonim how to understand that. Another critical point. Chushim was the son of Dan, the Maral. I think Rav Chaim Shmulevitz made this Maral famous. He has this in the Shmuz. Maral explains, what is it that, why is it Chushim Dafka that reacted as opposed to anybody else? That, so all the children and grandchildren were there, and Dafka Chushim is the one that reacts, so because he was hard of hearing? What do you mean? Adrabah, they all should have reacted before he reacted, because they weren't hard of hearing. They knew exactly what was going on. So that's what the Maral says, that sometimes a person gets involved in a conversation and they're slowly introduced to an idea and something that would have been so foreign to them and so difficult for them to fathom, but they if it's introduced slowly, they make peace with it, even if it's something they shouldn't be making peace with. So the conversation starts. They see Esav, they start talking to Esav. Esav is a taina. So as the conversation goes, even though it's a matter of minutes probably, still they become accustomed to the idea that it makes sense that they should have to prove themselves. But Chushim, it all hit him in a second. He didn't know what was going on. What's happening? Well, Naftali's got to go back, and we have to wait to bury Yaakov. What? That's crazy. Why should we have to take a step back, think about this for a second? Only Chushim was able to do that because he didn't hear what was going on. Some of the Achronim use this as a raya in the sugya of whether there's a chiv to honor grandparents. The Ramah quotes as a machlokas ma'arik in the Ramah, whether there's a chiv to honor one's grandparent. There's certainly a chiv to honor any elderly person, but the question whether dafka there's an inyan of a grandparent like a parent. So the Rashi and Chumash says that a person's chayv b'kvod avi aviv yoser mishalaviv. Kvod aviv yoser mishalaviv. That he's chayv to honor his parent more than his grandparent, strongly implying that there is some special chiv to honor a grandparent. It's just not quite the same as the chiv to honor a parent. So some of them bring a riot that he said it wasn't dafka a meis mutal b'bizayon, but it was avi aviv that he was so worried about that was going to be mutal b'bizayon, and that's why he and maybe this is an indication that there is some level of chiyuv to honor a grandparent. It's also interesting that we identify Rivka as a neviya over here. We say the nevuasa shel Rivka wasn't going to be fulfilled. If you actually look at the list of the neviyos in Megillah Daf Yadal, it talks about who the seven neviyos were. Rivka didn't make the list, so. This could be part of the what we were talking about yesterday. Sometimes people are misnaviv and yodim ma misnavim. That nevuah in the classical sense was given to seven women, but there are people all the time that may say things that turn out to be prophetic, and they don't even realize that what they're saying is actually prophetic. So says Gemara further now. Milanu gadol miYosef. who is greater than Yosef, that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in his kvura. Tan Rabban and Borei, Kama Chavivus Mitzvos al Moshe Rabbeinu, Shkol Yishol Kulu Nisaskum Bebiza, Munisaskum Mitzvos, look how much Moshe Rabbeinu loved Mitzvos. Everyone else was involved in securing the spoils of Mitzrayim, and he was involved in Mitzvos. Sounds like they did something wrong by securing the spoils of Mitzrayim, as if they had done something improper over here. Difficult to understand. The Bnei Yisrael were correct. Hanichlo kvodu begadolim. You know, let Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the gadol. That's the greatest honor that Yosef could receive. That's what the Mishnah is highlighting over here. That it deserves to be al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. In the Masivt over here, he quotes a sefer Vitziva Hakohen, who suggests in the name of Rav Naftali Katz that Klal Yisrael allowed Moshe to be osek be Yosef because of his godless, but Moshe with his anivus yaseira didn't want to be osek in Yosef because he thought it's gonna be a gaiva thing. People are gonna say that look, Moshe Rabbeinu was taking the zchus and the privilege for himself, so he waited till everyone else was busy doing something else, till everyone else was osek in the biza, and in that it won't be nicker that he's misasek because of his godless. It would just look like he's the only one that has any free time. He's the only one that's able to do it. So that's what it means. Chacham, the Gemara is about dashen. Chacham lev yikach mitzvos, that he was wise in how he took the mitzvos, in that he figured out a way to take the mitzvos where it's not going to reflect any sense of gaiva whatsoever. So we're not suggesting that they did anything wrong when we say that they were osik and biza. We're just trying to highlight the wisdom of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he dafka waited till they were osik and biza, and that's when he decided to go and to take the bones of Yosef. So and how did Moshe Rabbeinu know where Yosef was buried? It's amazing. The Gemara never thinks to say, well, Moshe Rabbeinu was Adon HaNevi'im, so he figured it out through Nevuah. So no, but apparently, you see, the Gemara knew that it wasn't from his Nevuah, and that he was going to figure it out on his own, and that's how much Mitzvos Chavivos Alav, that even without, absent a Nevuah, and with no clue and no way to figure it out, he was going to find a way to figure it out. So how did he find out? Amru Serach Basasher Neshtayra Meosadar. Serach Basasher was still alive at that time. Halach Moshe Atzos Moshe went to her. Amru Klumat Yodas Heichan Yosef Kavur. So he said to her, you know where Yosef is buried? Amru Lo Aron Shal Matech Asasla Mitzrim Mekavu Benilus. There was a metal Aron that they put in the Nile. Benilus Hanar Kedishis Baruch Meimav. And they did that so that the water should be blessed. Halach Moshe Vamen Al Sfas Nilus. Moshe stood by the edge of the water. Amru Lo Yosef. He Gia Ish Nishmak Kodesh Baruch Hashani Gaol Eschem. He said, Yosef, the time has come for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore that he's going to redeem us. V'igia shvur sheshbat es Yisrael, the shvur that we were mashpia klal Yisrael has arrived. Im atamara atzmucha mutav, if you want to show yourself great, v'imlav hareyanu menukim nishvur seich. And if not, then we are cleansed of your shvur. We don't have to, we're not going to be obligated any further. Why aren't they going to be obligated any further? By what mechanism does the shvur go away? So in the Mekevus HaMishnah explains that the shvur was being moneah the shvuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Prispin and Masarim va'avadim vinu asam v'achar kein yetzu. So it's time for yetzu. So you can't take a shvuah that's gonna counter the shvuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he says also the shvuah is not misbatal on its own. It requires some sort of hatara. So even though someone who's noda l'chaveru for a tova that he's going to do for him, you can only be matir midaito. That's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. And over here Yosef was already dead, so he can't be matir it. But you see the tzarech mitzvah, you're allowed to be matir and Yisrael. So because it's a tzarech mitzvah, they were able to be matir the shvuah. Miyad safa aron shel Yosef. But it wasn't necessary to be matir because right away Yosef showed himself. The aron of Yosef floated. Va'al titam hech barzel tzaf. Of all the things you're going to wonder about this story, don't wonder how is it that iron can float. So you see from that pasuk, unbelievable that for Elisha the metal floated. Ma Elisha talmid shel Elio, Elio talmid shel Moshe. If Elisha is a talmid of Elio and Avi, and Elio and Avi is a talmid of Moshe Rabbeinu, and still for Elisha Tzaf Barzel Mipanav, the Barzel was going to float. Mipnei Moshe Rabbeinu, Alachas Kama V'Kama. For Moshe Rabbeinu himself, all the more so, that the Barzel was going to float. Rashi says, Elio is the Talmud of Moshe? How did that happen? When was Elio the Talmud of Moshe? So Rashi writes, V'lo Shalom Mipiv, El Tarosu Shal Moshe Lam Del Elio. That it wasn't that he actually learned by Moshe Rabbeinu, he couldn't have, but it was the Torah of Moshe that Elio and Navi learned. Unless you go with one of the interpretations. conversations that Eliyahu HaNavi existed on many different levels. Eliyahu HaNavi was Pinchas, Pinchas Eliyahu, Chazal tell us, and it could be that on that level he was a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. But anyway, that's what Rashi says. Why does Rashi one of the Achronim writes that Lule Pirush Rashi, had it not been for Rashi, he would have said based on the idea of the Pinchas Eliyahu. Why does Rashi not reject it? Maybe because if we were referring to him as a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, we would have called him Pinchas. We wouldn't have called him Eliyahu. We would have called him by the name that actually was a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Nosson Amar Bekavranit Shamalachim Ayakavur, that this whole Maisa with Yosef, it didn't go that way. It was Yosef was buried with all the kings of Mitzrayim, so he wasn't buried. He was in their tombs or whatever. So Halach Moshe Va'amar Al Kavranit Shamalachim. So Moshe Rabbeinu stood by the entrance. Amar Yosef Higia Eish Nishmar Kosh Baruch Shani Gol Eskem Higia Shvush. About this Israel, and again he gave him the same spiel, except he only called him Yosef once this time. And he says that Kodesh Baruch Hu, the time came where Hashem swore that He's going to redeem Klal Yisrael. You want to show yourself great; otherwise, we are cleansed of any responsibility. So the Aron of Yosef started to rattle, not the Moshe Veviot. So Moshe took the Aron and he brought it with him. And the entire time the Jewish people were in the Midbar, there were two Aronos that traveled with them the entire time, the Aron that housed the Luchos and the Aron that housed Yosef's bones, and they would go right next to each other. And people would pass by and they would say, what's with these two boxes that you're according such respect to? Amru echad shel meis ve'echad shel shechina. They said, well, one of them is a deceased leader of the Jewish people, and one of them is the shechina. V'chima darko shel meis, not the shechina itself, but is representative of the shechina. V'chima darko shel meis la'alechim shechina. Why would a mace be together with the shechina? So amru kiyem zeh, that this one fulfilled everything that it says in this, and through that he earns our eternal respect. Talmud Chacham is like a Sefer Torah. When Talmud Chacham dies, like a Sefer Torah. When any Jewish person dies, like a Sefer Torah shenisraf. But that's how a person gains eternity, by kiyam zeh mashakasa bazeh, because Torah is nitzchius, and therefore he's going to always be respected even after he's turned to atzamos. The law be Moshe Yisrael love maski be. Wait a second, and Moshe not done this with Klal Yisrael, not have been Osek. I mean, why are we giving Moshe so much credit for the taking care of the bones of Yosef? If he wouldn't have done it, Klal Yisrael would have done it anyway. That they took the bones out of Mitzrayim and brought the bones that Bnei Yisrael took out of Mitzrayim, they buried in Shechem. And even if the whole Klal Yisrael went to taking care of it, wouldn't his family at least have taken care of it? Well, first of all, the Bnei Yosef said, better for it to be a massive amount of people rather than a small amount of people, so let all of Bnei Yisrael do it. And then Bnei Yisrael turned around, Vesu Amru Inichlo Kvodo Begadolim Yosemi Begtanim. Let the Gadol take care of it, let Moshe Rabbeinu take care of it, instead of lesser people taking care of it. In the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, he proves from this Gemara to be Matir Meis on Yom Tov Sheni, for anyone who wants to help in the Kvura, to be Matir, anybody to help in the Kvura. That we don't say bare minimum, that you're allowed to bury a Meis on Yom Tov Sheni, so just get one person, just allow one. Why should we allow everyone to be Mechal Yom Tov, just that one person? He says, no, you see that the Kavur is in the Merubim, Yosser Mibim Yechidim, so better to have greater people and more people, and that's all part of the Kavur Ameis, and therefore, even if people who aren't normally involved in the burial, he said, the Allah, you're allowed to have people who aren't part of the Chavra Kadisha, people who are part of the family, if that's the greater Kavur, to be involved in the Kavur. That's what the Chacham Tzvi suggests. Kavru b'shchem, they buried him in Shchem. Maishna b'shchem, of all places. So Amar b'chem b'rachanin, mishchem ganvu, l'shchem nachzir avidaso. They took him from Shchem, they stole him, they kidnapped him from Shchem, so to Shchem is where they're returning him. Kashu k'raya dadi, but it's a stirim psukim. K'siv ha'ikach Moshe s'atzmos Yosef imo, u'k'siv ha'atzmos Yosef asher halu b'nei Yisrael. On the one end, it says that Moshe took the atzmos Yosef, on the other end, the pasuk says that that the Bnei Yisrael took the Atzmos Yosef. Amr b'chaim b'chanina kol osa davar v'lagamro ba'achar v'gamro malala v'kasal al shagamro ki'lu asa'u. Anyone who does something and doesn't finish it, and someone else finishes the job, the one who finishes it, it gets the credit as if he did the entire job. So that's why it's called that the Bnei Yisrael did it, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that really started the job. This is an interesting idea, being maschil b'mitzvah, that we say someone who's maschil b'mitzvah, we encourage him to finish, because the one who finishes gets the credit. Yet, at the same time, the Gemara Makos Tav Yud tells us, if you know you're not going to be able to finish a job, you're still supposed to start it. Meaning, the Gemara tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu set aside 3 Arei Miklat, even though the Arei Miklat Be'er Yadin weren't going to be collate until the other 3 in Eretz Yisrael proper were designated. So he knew he wasn't going to see it happen. He knew whatever he was doing right now was not going to take effect during his lifetime. He wasn't going to be able to see it through. And Afal Bikain, he did it, because that's what you're supposed to do. Oiv Kesef L'Yispa Kesef, Oiv Mitzvos L'Yispa Mitzvos. Person who loves mitzvos is always going to be looking for more, for some participation, even though he knows that it's not good, that he's not going to be able to see it through totally. Magen Avraham Sim Tavkuf Pe'alif writes that because of this principle, Maschul Mitzvah Om Lo Gemar, that's why a person who daven Slichos during Yom Noraim should daven Shachris as well. He should daven Kol Tefilos Hayom, he says, not just Shachris. That the one who daven Slichos should daven Kol Tefilos Hayom. And that's the minute. Rabbi Soloveitchik explained that from there you see that it's all one mitzvah. That Slichos is not a separate tefillah from the other tefillos. That it's a hachana for the other tefillos. It's a way of davening HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mekabel the other tefillos. So the nafkamina is if a person just daven Slichos, they did nothing. Because the whole point of Slichos, if you don't have any other tefillos, the whole point, sometimes the doctor, he's in right, doesn't know what should he do. He can catch Slichos, he'd give him mitzvah rachamim, or catch Shachris. Better to daven Shachris, because the Slichos aren't going to be worth much without a follow-up tefillah. In the Emek Halacha, he has a difficulty. He says, everyone says, Maschul Mitzvah Om Lo Gemar. The Magen Avraham says, he said, I haven't found a Maimar Chazal that says, Maschul Mitzvah Om Lo Gemar. That someone, he says, in fact, our Gemara doesn't really say that. Our Gemara says that the one who's Gomer the Mitzvah gets credit, but it doesn't say the guy who starts Om Lo Gemar. We don't find that anywhere in our Gemara. So he says, the Makar must be from Gemara and Brachos. The Gemara says, Bolehem Yayin Daf Membez and Brachos, Bolehem Yayin Betoch HaMazon, Kalechon Mevarech La'atzmo, La'achar HaMazon, Echon Mevarech L'kulam, V'hu Omer Ala Mugmar. That if wine comes, La'achar HaMazon, the one who's Mevarech for everybody is also Mevarech on the Mugmar. They used to make a Bar Mir B'Samim or something at the end of a Suda as well. So because he's the one that started the Seder of Brachos at the end of the meal, so that's why he's the one that is Gomer. So that must be what the source of it. Rav Moshe was asked in a tshuva in Igros Moshe Chosh Mishma Chelik Aleph Sim Memtes by a shadchan. There was a case of a shadchan who set someone up, and then the shadchan didn't follow it through. They were involved for the first day or two, and then someone else took over for whatever reason. Someone else took over being the go-between and helping talk the couple through till they got engaged. So they wanted to know, do they owe anything to the first shadchan, because he didn't. He maybe said, but he didn't. He wasn't Gomer, and the one who's Gomer the mitzvah, it's Nikra al Shem Gomrav. So Rav Moshe says that there's the din of Tashlum of paying Shadchanus is the din of Schiris Poelim. If a Poel works for you, even if you didn't hire him, there's a din of Schiris Poelim. If someone's Yorid Tov Steich Shel Chaveru and he just improves your field, there's a din of Schiris Poelim. So if someone works for you, you have to pay them. So he says there's no you can't say from here that there's no requirement to pay. You do have to pay. And he says, think about it. Why are we quoting this whole thing? Where are all this? Why are we getting involved in this whole discussion? Moshe, yes, it was from our Mishnah. What was our Mishnah highlighting? That mi lanu gadol mi Yosef, that shasku bo Moshe, and mi lanu gadol mi Moshe, that Kodesh Baruch Hu has a schar for what Moshe Rabbeinu did. That Kodesh Baruch Hu is osik in the kvur of Moshe Rabbeinu. Apparently Moshe Rabbeinu got rewarded for this, even though he was not Gomer. He started the job, and he didn't finish the job, and you see, he did get rewarded. So the one who starts the job should get rewarded as well. Rabbi Lazar Omer Av Moridin Osa Migdulaso. Rabbi Lazar says they're Moridin Migdulaso if he doesn't finish a mitzvah. Tzivah Yibesei Vayered Yehuda. That Yehuda was Yared Migdulaso. The Rashi points out, Shuhu Iskel Batzalas Yosef. He said, Ma Betza. So he started the saving of Yosef, but he never saw it through. So he's faulted for that. Rabbi Shurman Achmeni Omer Av Kovarishto Obanav. Someone who doesn't finish a mitzvah is going to end up burying his wife and children. Tzivah Thomas Bashua Eshes Yehuda. Uksivah Yamaserva Onan. And that's what happened to Yehuda. Amar Vidom Rav, Mimre Manikra Yosef Atzmos Bechayev. Why during his lifetime is Yosef already called bones. Because he did not object when there was a slight to his father's kavod. They said to him, your servant, our father, and he didn't correct them and say, whoa, you don't talk that way about our father. Why did Yosef die earlier than his brothers? Because he acted with a sense of authority over his brothers. The Yosef were in Mitzrayim, and Yosef was brought down to Mitzrayim. Amar Rabbi Elazar Hatik Rihurad El Horid, Shahorid Sagnini Par Migdulasan. It's not just that he was brought down, he brought other people down, meaning because he was able to interpret the dreams, and the Sagnini Paro were unable to interpret the dreams, they were all fired, because Yosef proved to be so much greater than them at their own job. Vayikneo Potivar Sris Paro, Amarav Shekana Liatzmo, that Potivar Sris Paro wanted Yosef for himself. Rashi writes, Lemishkov Zachar Mitoch Yofio, because he was such a good looking guy, he was interested in him for Mishkov Zachar. But Gavriel Upiro, Gavriel came Upiro. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Sirus Yisera. He did a Sirus on him so that Potiphar wouldn't be a threat to Yosef. Meikariksiv Potiphar, how do I know that he did a Sirus on him, that he feminized him? Because originally it said Potiphar, Ulubisov Potiphara, and then Potiphara, as if he had become like a woman. He was Masaris him. Milonu Godol Mimoshe. And then the Mishnah said, and who is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, the HaKadosh Baruch, who himself took care of the Kavura of Moshe Rabbeinu? Ve'om Hashem Eli Ravlach. Hashem said to me, says Moshe Rabbeinu, Ravlach. What does that mean? Ravlach? Three possibilities. Amrav Levi Rav Biser, Berav Bisruhu, that he delivered the message with Rav, so they delivered the message to him with Rav, meaning when he tells the Adas Korach, Rav Lechem B'nei Levi, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Medaktikim Etzadikim Kuchat Asaru, Rashi points out, so he's Ne'enash Ba'os Samida, in the same way that he spoke to others, that's how he's spoken too. Berav Biser, Rav Lechem, Berav Bisruhu, Rav Lach. Davracher, second interpretation, Ravlach, Rav Yeshlucha Umanu Yoshua. That he's saying it came time, HaKadosh Baruch was telling him, it's come time for Yoshua's Malchus to begin, so now there is someone who's going to have greater authority than you. It's Yoshua's time to be Melech. Davracher, third possibility, Ravlach Hashayom Shalom Yomru HaRav Kamakasha V'Talmud Kamasarvan. Stop begging, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Stop davening that you're going to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael, because now you're making me look bad. Everyone's going to say that he's, that how mean the master is, how he's not letting him, and look how hard you're working. Why was Hashem so hard on Moshe Rabbeinu? Because based on the strength of the camel, that's how strong you make his burden. So he demands a lot of the likes of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am 120 years old today. Why does he have to say hayom? He was saying that it was actually his 120th birthday, and you see from there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mashlim the years of tzaddikim every day, every month. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm no longer able to go out and come. What does it mean? What's he no longer able to do? If you say that it means literally he's not able to go out and come, but we learned that Moshe Rabbeinu was very vibrant, even in a very advanced age. Moshe went from Arvos Moav to Harnevo. There were 12 steps. And he jumped all of them in one bound. So don't tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu lacked the strength on the last day of his life to be able to be let's say Svalavo. The Achronim point out that the Gemara says in Masech Shabbos Kuf Yud Gimel Beis that a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to be posea psiagasa because it's not tell us me more enough. So how is Moshe Rabbeinu allowed to do this? They'll say he's Yotzei Beis Haknesses. The Gemara brachos Davav and Beis. Someone is Yotzei Beis Haknesses and for sure from Beis Hamedrash should not be posea psiagasa. So how is Moshe Rabbeinu allowed to do that? He was always in the Oel Shel Torah. So he says that's why Moshe Rabbeinu says lo naslechav lo chasa eno lo. It's that he was immune to the effect of the on the ayin. That's the psiagasa that normally takes away because this aliyah was a tzorach mitzvah. So shomer mitzvah lo the davar ra. Normally, the negative effect is going to come because you're not doing a mitzvah. So there are certain things that are unhealthy. But shom mitzvah liyad the davar ra, he's doing a mitzvah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect his ayin. They also ask the Paskin Shulchan Aruch and Arachayim Sim Shin Aleph that it's also so psia gasa on Shabbos as well. And Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos. So that's according to some opinions. So if Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos, how is he allowed to take a psia gasa on Shabbos? So they say, no, when there's when it's for oneg, it's mutter to take a psia gasa, the Shulchan Aruch says. So from Moshe Rabbeinu, who's an oneg, to be able to see Eretz Yisrael, just to be able to witness with his own eyes, to see the land, was a great oneg, and as an oneg Shabbos, he's allowed to take a psia gasa. So what does it mean he couldn't be let's say it doesn't mean that he physically didn't have the strength. It means that the gates of Chachma were closed from him. That was the Shabbos of the coupled leadership. That Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua were overlapping that Shabbos, because that's when the Rishus was taken from Moshe and given to Yeshua. Had the Pasuk not said it, we couldn't say such a thing. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu die? He died in the Chelek of Reuven. Moshe went from Arvos Moav to Har Nevo. Unevo b'chelko shel Reuven kaima. Nevo is in Reuven's Chelek. Yet where is Moshe buried? B'chelko shel God. It's 4 mil from Reuven to God. Who carried Moshe all that way? Look at the Leviah that Moshe Rabbeinu had. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was carrying him al kanfei shechina. The Malachim were saying things about him. Ribbono Shel Olam was saying things about him. Shmuel says the Ribbono Shel Olam was saying, Mi kachachom mi yodea pesher davar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, that Ribbono Shel Olam was saying, Hachach me'ayin timtza. Rav Nachman says, Ribbono Shel Olam was saying, Vayom Hashem Moshe. V'gomer Smalion Amar Vayamash Moshe Safra Rabbi di Yisrael, the great scribe of the Jewish people. What's Smalion? So Rashi says Shem Chacham. Smalion is an unusual name. I don't know if it comes up anywhere else in Shas. Shem Chacham. Right? That's what they say. That every Masechta has one Chacham that doesn't come up anywhere else in Shas. That's when they came up with the forgery of one of the. Someone claimed a number of years ago that he found the Talmud Bavli on one of the Masechtas in Taurus, and they showed it to the Ragachev, and the Ragachev immediately looked at it and read through it in a few minutes, and he said that it's a forgery. He said, how did you know? And it turned out he was right. How did you know? He said, because every Masechta has one name that doesn't come up anywhere else in Shas, and I don't see any name here that doesn't come up anywhere else in Shas. It was a good forger. It was only using names that came up elsewhere. That's the Maisa. I don't know. So maybe Smalion is that name in our Masechta. Tanya, Rabbi Lazar, God the Lomer, Shnei Masremil, Kenegan Machni Yisrael, Baskol Mashmi of Omer, Vayamas Moshe, Safar Abba the Yisrael, that for 12 mil by 12 mil, you heard the Baskol screaming out that Moshe, the great scribe of Israel, had died. Moshe didn't die. It says over here, Vayamasham, it says over there, Vayisham Imashem. Malalan Omin Mashamish, Afkan Omin Mashamish. It's as if he's still being Omin Mashamish, Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's still serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, but Shem will pick up from continuing the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu tomorrow.